January 26, 2023, JEDCO Executive Committee meeting.
I'm actually going today. Southwest at 5. Yeah. Are you going up there?
I'm on American at noon, I think.
Okay.
At 5, you're guaranteed to leave.
This is late.
Yes.
But the ratification amendment and then also the bill of sale for the reconveyance of the deletion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe I did, but I just
feel like you're finally
late. No, it's okay. Well, I just called Penny yesterday and we had all this ready, so I figured I'd just go.
That's the second copy. Here's this. All you saw on this, too.
Yeah, so there should be 4 too.
Hey, Steven.
You don't want to go back to work?
Perfect. So, Mike, what is the best one other than, all kidding aside, what's your favorite king cake?
Man, I don't really have, I like a lot of king cakes.
I feel the same way.
Like, king cake's like fried chicken.
I don't really have like part of it in a bad way. Yeah, king cake.
Yeah,
it's like a good one for breakfast, a good one after dessert, after dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you found anything good to do with like stale
king cake? Stale king cake? Have you found
anything good? Bread pudding.
Bread pudding.
Yeah,
pretty good.
King cake, bread
pudding. Bread pudding.
That'd be real good.
Then I was King cake tends to not get stale in my house. Johnny
taught
me how to fry.
Like,
it's so
really?
Boring.
I eat too much.
Yeah, and so
my king cake was full at 5 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, really?
And a third of it's gone when I brought it in. I brought it here, not to be generous, but to get it out of my house.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Got out of that.
Because I'll be the one and only one.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
I forgot I was in it when I was in.
Michael, you lead us in the pledge after we start?
And I haven't been back since. That'd be good.
You want to say a prayer? It's okay with me.
I can do that too if you want to, but I don't know if you want me to.
Sure.
All right, well, good to see you all.
You too.
I'm going to head out.
Pray for the Bengals.
My Catholic school education.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pray for the Bengals.
I can do that.
God and country. We'll put you first, all right?
All right. Yeah.
That's good. All right.
We have a
floor. All right, thank you, Penny.
Cool.
Come on, Derek. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you. All right, almost on time. Welcome to the JEDCO Executive Committee meeting of January 26th, and thank you all for coming. We've confirmed with Penny that we have a quorum, so I'd like to ask everybody to rise, and Michael's going to lead us in a prayer and the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
And pray for the Bengals.
Pray for the Bengals.
Absolutely. Right.
That's a great
one.
All right.
LSU boy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. So we have any guests today? Come on. Reed Smith from the parish attorney's office, and I don't see any other guests today. Approval of the board absences for today. We have 4 members which have asked to be excused. Tom Gennaro, Myra Pineda, Jim Martin, and Jocelyn Frank. Can I have a motion to approve their absences? Okay, so moved by Gene.
Second.
Okay, with Stephen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Penny circulated the minutes for the December 15th meeting. Did anyone see them and have any changes that they suggest? Not hearing any. Can I get a motion to approve by Lloyd? Second.
Second.
By Michael. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Do we have any public comments from anyone? Okay. I am going to just make a quick public comment. Does everyone have this packet in front of them, every board member? Okay. This is for you to take with you and fill out. This is your personal financial disclosure forms. I think everybody here has filled them out before. They're due in Baton Rouge by May 15th. You can email them, fax them, or mail them, or hand deliver them. It's up to you. But regardless of how you do it, as you know, they have to be there by May 15th. Takes 10 minutes to fill out. Hopefully you save last year's copies. If the form stayed the same, you can use most of that. And my only other suggestion is if you do fax or email, is check a week or so later and make sure that your name... got a stamp on it. Perfect. So it's got a stamp on it. Thank you, Penny. Just make sure it's received and that they've got your name up so that you don't have to worry about the fine, which you will get fined. Okay. We have item three on the agenda is unfinished and new business, and there was a resolution that we were going to discuss today, but I'd like to defer it to the February 23rd meeting of the quarterly Board of Commissioners. Jerry's going to discuss it more during his comments later today, but at this time I'd like to get a motion to defer this to February 23rd, if I could.
Motion.
By Stephen, a second. Michael, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, any opposed? All right, thank you. The motion passes. We have one action item. We have a resolution authorizing JEDCO's president and CEO and chairman for reasons of expediency to incur warranted and proper unbudgeted obligations related to accounting and human resource functions on behalf of the Commission for Emergency Consulting Services at an amount not to exceed $60,000 until March 31st, 2023. So I think, Jerry, you're going to discuss
sure.
this. Okay.
Well, I will start by saying I think one of the great hallmarks of JEDCO has been our consistency and stability of staff and the team that we have here. Nobody has exemplified that stability more than Cynthia over the last 34 years. Cynthia notified us on the same day that the Avondale news was thrust upon us that the time has come for her to enjoy retirement and a well-deserved retirement. She has had her fingerprints on the entire growth of this organization. She tells the story that when she started, there were not even door handles in the office at the Yenny building, no furniture except for one desk. And she has seen the evolution of JEDCO more than anyone, and has been so instrumental in this organization. So she told us of her retirement, and we're very, very, very happy for her that she gets to enjoy this time. It does put us in after 34 years of being not only our controller, our de facto human resource officer, and so many other things, we have to act pretty quickly here to outsource some of that work. Our intention is going to be to bring a permanent replacement on at some point, but Cynthia's last day will be the end of March, and that is not enough time for us to properly identify a candidate, interview, identify a candidate, hire, and still get that person trained up. Our intent, and as we kind of thought about this over the last couple of years, knowing that this might be coming, we had already held some very preliminary meetings with some outsourced CFO-type firms, and very comfortable with the service they offer. We are going to have to contract with someone very quickly, and I don't want to have to wait till the next February meeting. We want to get them in here as soon as possible. At the time that we were preparing the proposal, we were still uncertain of whom we might use and what that cost would look like. That came into a bit more clarity in the middle part of this week. Our intention will be to enter into a contract for the accounting services with Prime Business Solutions. They do a lot of outsourced CFO work. They are highly recommended by a number of folks. I have had the benefit of working with them in a couple of organizations that I'm on, serve on the boards of, whereby they provide that service. They are estimating the, at this point, they're estimating the cost of that contract to be about $40,000 to take us through March, and then an additional $15,000 for the audit-related work, because we are just walking into audit season. So we're looking at about $55,000 approximately. That could fluctuate based on once they're in here and see how much time we will actually need. But this is something they do all the time, and they feel like they have a pretty good grasp on that. What the contract would do is allow them, they'll be here probably 4 days a week, 4 hours a day, sitting just with Cynthia to try and shadow her processes for the next couple of months. They will then help us both review our existing accounting procedures and codify those, and help train a replacement when that person is identified. At the same time, you know, Cynthia also does our payroll. We are looking at outsourcing that function as well. We have met with Crescent Payroll Solutions. We feel very comfortable with their proposal. That doesn't necessitate a contract, and it's significantly less cost. But what you have in front of you is just a resolution that would authorize myself and Larry to sign and obligate the organization up to $60,000 for this contract with Prime Business Solutions, or Prime Advisory Services. Let's see what their name they're using now. Prime Business Advisory Solutions. And I'm happy to answer any questions about both Cynthia's transition and this contract.
I was wondering if once the person has been identified to follow Cynthia, will the Prime Business Solution with this $60,000 be inclusive, or that's another charge to help the
this
other
would be
person
on top. This would be on top of that.
On top of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There will be some duplication of staffing costs, because we will be paying them while Cynthia is still here.
Yeah.
And then there'll be some overlap on the back end, because they're going to have to be here training the new person.
Sure. Okay.
And the duration is anticipated to be temporary. This is like the bridge to the permanent
solution. This will get us first through the end of March when Cynthia leaves. This necessitates, this allows them to get in here and get trained and mirror her. They are going to have a much better idea by March exactly how many hours it will take them to sustain that function once Cynthia is gone. We would come back to the board at that time with a better proposal of both how long we think it's going to take us to identify that candidate, and that'll determine, I think, how long we would have to pay the consultant for that service.
So you wouldn't start advertising until after that process?
I think there's way too much going on with them having to learn the processes, audit on top of that.
Then teach the process.
I don't think that's something we want to conflate and confuse. I think it's better for us to have this process play out, have them on the floor here. They can learn all the systems. They do this. I mean, they, as part of their as part of their charge with other organizations, they actually have helped identify the, like, they,
yes,
they have that network as well, yes, and know who's out there, and they may be able to not only help with the training of that person, but they may be able to help us identify that person. So we would, this is short term, what you have in front of you today. We would anticipate having to come back at some point before March. We just didn't want to have to wait till February, late February, to be able to even bring someone in, because then we only have 1 month instead of.
I'll show you what Cynthia did, her work to this organization.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. I think when you're in the midst of it, there are things that you take for granted. And I think what we can do here is look at this as an opportunity. We've never considered outsourcing payroll before, but as we've met with this company, I think there are certainly some economies there and some savings, or maybe not dollar savings, but they're offering additional services that would offload some of the existing stresses on staff. So we may be able to offset some of that and free staff up to do other
things.
That's
kind of where my question was headed, was there may be aspects of the full scope of what she does that might be permanently placed with a contractor.
I want to use this opportunity to take a look objectively at all of those things, and if there are things that we can save money by outsourcing permanently, I think it behooves the organization to consider those at this point.
There's a lot of really advancing technology for business solutions in back office, whether that's all types. Payroll has already been there. Most companies outsource their payroll already. Yeah. But even bookkeeping functions that can be more or less automated in a way that historically you weren't able to automate before and outsource.
I don't want to make the job more handleable
for somebody.
And I don't want to speak for Cynthia. I think it worked because she was here in the beginning, and like anyone who's in an organization over time, things keep getting put upon them that builds that function. It would be near impossible, I think, to find a CFO or a controller candidate that takes on the HR function of a 20-person organization and is doing payroll. Like those things just kind of grew with her through the job. I don't think you're going to find that candidate or someone with that that expertise. So the HR function very well could be something that permanently gets offloaded. And the payroll administrative companies offer all sorts of software and different types of onboarding help and timekeeping and vacate. They can track our vacation requests and take all that out of staff's hands. So those are some of the things we've learned just in these early discussions. Lacey, I don't know if you want to add anything about any of our meetings or like a few consultants.
I have a lot of confidence in Prime Business Advisory Solutions, I think they're called. And of course, and it was important for us to get Cynthia's take as well. She participated in the interview and also feels like they have a good grasp on how we're set up and the auditing process, state agreed upon procedures, and that was really comforting, to hear their experience and knowledge there. So
any other questions? This authorization expires March 31st, which is in the resolution. Is everyone comfortable that we okay, can I get a motion to approve this resolution?
Motion.
Okay.
Or second. Yeah.
Michael, second by Stephen. All those, any discussion? Okay, not hearing any. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes.
And can we get a congratulations?
Congratulations. Put a statue up there.
Do you have a calendar? Are you Xing the number day?
I'll repeat what I told the staff.
Going to vote against it.
I have nothing planned, but I plan to do everything.
What's the first thing you're going to do, sleep in?
Yes.
You know, I will add to that, the last 2 years have been, I would say probably 2 years have been especially trying on Cynthia, just the audits, the transition, multiple transitions of the banking platform, and not the least of which was the passing of Debbie, which was a year ago this past weekend. So there's been a lot of stress.
Let's
on.
Let's not forget the COVID pandemic.
And COVID, yeah.
She very seamlessly kept us up and running, and even though we couldn't be in person.
And going back to Hurricane Katrina, we never missed a paycheck or anything in this organization. So again, she deserves that retirement, but we will miss her. And when we notify the staff, we certainly let them know we're going to celebrate Cynthia at some point before March 31st. We're going to celebrate her in the right way, but we got to take care of business first.
All right, guys, the next item is an approval of an unbudget expense related to a quality of life survey. And Jerry, again, you're going to take this?
Yeah, and I'll blame you for this one.
Not the full amount.
The Jefferson Business Council had approached JEDCO and the Jefferson Chamber about participating in a quality of life survey. The thought being, it would give us a good read on where we're scoring high, especially as it relates to our position in the region. It would also allow us some background or some baseline data in areas where we probably, as a parish, need to improve, including perhaps funding for economic development services, other quality of life things such as crime and the perceptions around crime and homelessness and items like that. So the JBC had approached us. We agreed to participate and lend our names to that. At a subsequent JBC meeting, it was suggested that perhaps rather than lend just our name, to see if JEDCO and or the Jefferson Chamber would be willing to subsidize a portion of the cost of that survey. The survey would be done by John Cuvion. I believe it's going to be
Ron.
Oh, it's Ron Fouché. I'm thinking of the other poll. I got polls on my mind right now. Ron Fouché. We have had input into the questions that would be asked. We're comfortable there, but. I'll turn it over to Larry to just discuss perhaps what would be the a reasonable ask. Okay. The cost of the entire study, I think, was $45,000 in the $45,000 range.
So the $45,000, the Jefferson Community Foundation has agreed to sponsor it for $5,000. Chamber, the ask is for $5,000. So I was going to suggest the same ask here. So that would leave the Jefferson Business Council on the hook for either $30,000 or $35,000, depending upon how successful the chamber is in passing it, which we think they will. But the thinking, and Jerry's laughing, he's thank you, not laughing that much. He is blaming me because laughing with me. At a JBC meeting, I suggested that it was really, if an organization just signed it and didn't put up any money behind it, even a small amount, it really could just be thrown on a shelf. And I wanted the buy-in from the entire community, because hopefully this is what we're left with is a blueprint for the elected officials, for the business community, perception of the school system. There's so many important lessons to learn and tools to be given to us from that. As far as I know, and Michael, you comment on this, Jerry, I don't know that, has this ever been done, or?
It has been done, it's been
many
years.
Many years, yeah. So it's time for another one.
Yeah, going back to Scott Adams, did a pretty thorough job when he was doing the first Avondale retention, and I remember this was, just going back, right?
Yes.
Early 90s, yeah. The first time I had seen sort of a comprehensive quality of life survey. It was part of that, and it was associated with business retention, a huge business retention issue at that time. So, and we did just do our 5-year strategic plan, which was extremely thorough, and it was actually raised at the Jefferson Community Foundation meeting, because I'm on all these boards, but didn't we just do this at JEDCO? And it's like, well, you know what? We didn't actually do a quality of life survey. We did tons of other analysis, but there is this piece that actually wasn't part of that. It's, some of it's implied and some of it's included in the analysis, but not an actual quality of life survey. And the other thought that, and Phil Rebo is a big driver of this agenda, and he was inspired by something Baton Rouge is doing very successfully. They have this type of survey that they do. I don't know if it's annual. They at least put out an annual report on it. And it sort of, over time, gives them the ability to track their progress.
It's like a
and benchmark. And benchmark how they're doing and achieving certain things as it impacts the community as a whole. You know, how are people feeling about the job that the business organizations are doing and helping to contribute to the quality of life things that are on most of our agendas. So I think it's a good thing, and I do agree with, you know, getting buy-in from everybody, because, you know, it's one thing to put, you don't want the thing to just be a one and done and sit on the shelf. And if you get everybody invested in it, literally, I think that it makes it, gives it the best chance of success.
Looking, Ron, in the proposal, he expects to contact 900 respondents as part of this. That's a pretty large sample group.
This is just not dealing with the business, right? It deals
no.
with quality of life,
resident.
Deal with housing.
Yeah. Right.
With, yeah. All economics, everything
yes,
across
everything.
The spectrum.
Yeah, crime, housing, yeah.
Okay.
There's a parish education,
behind us too.
Yeah. Parish wide, yeah.
Is Jefferson Parish behind us too? They're supporting the
well, they
actual
have not been asked. I don't think no. they've been asked to. So, but thought being
be.
Is that we're going to use these results in some instances to go to the parish
okay.
and ask
to
for a change
some
on
change.
Some items. And
also develop a political platform asking
right.
elected or potential
candidates.
Elected officials, candidates, to sign on to
yeah.
what comes out of this. If hopefully it'll be a manifesto that can be used.
And Lloyd, a little bit to your question, Ron did walk us through the methodology, because you may think that nobody has landlines anymore, so how are they getting to these
yeah.
900 respondents? And there's a science there behind how many landlines they call. They're calling cell phones directly. They feel confident in their ability to get a good sample sample size for those responses.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Need a motion for the money.
Yeah, so the request is for $5,000, and I agree with how Lloyd put it. We need a motion for the money. Okay,
well,
Lloyd.
So moved.
Okay, thanks. Gene, second. Any further discussion or comments? Again, hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? Okay, thank you. Passed unanimously. Thank you all. The next step is Cynthia. You are up for the financial report.
Now that we spent unbudgeted money,
we can't blame you, Cynthia. You're on the way.
Okay, for November, we collected nearly $85,000, and these are the areas in which we collected it. The largest one here being on the finance, and that's for fees earned for the different programs. Expenses also listed here. 52 is the total for that month because of the renewal time of dues and subscriptions. That's why it looks that large, but it balances out throughout the year. JEDCO land balance at the end of November is $3.55 million. On the edge, we collected $45,000 in private funds. The The larger expenses on the edge for November was $15,800 for local park marketing and $18,800 for the tech park implementation. The edge balance at the end, the edge lamp balance at the end of November was $621,000. And we received approval of the JEDCO 2022 final amended budget on December 15th at the executive committee meeting. The next report is this for December of 2022. In the month of December, we collected $196,000 plus. That larger amount came from a payment for the pilot fees under EDS. We also collected $19,000 for Tech Park, which was the amount of money under that the school and Delgado pays us for shared common area. Expenses for November, the larger amounts are listed here. Again, programming events, the $51,000 is largely attributed to our annual luncheon. The expenses are listed here. The lamp balance at the end of December is $3.56 million. We collected $45,000 of private funds for Edge and $2,100 of interest in Edge. Larger expenses again are for local marketing, almost $2,000, and Tech Park, $14,500. The balance of the Edge lamp account at the end of December was $623,000. And we have preliminarily began the 2022 audit. The auditors are planning to be in-house for a few days on the week of February 13th, but we are communicating and talking, and we are actually began the audit. So when the new company comes in, they'll come in and learn the process as well. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Cynthia. We're going to need a motion to accept the financials for November and December.
Motion.
Motion, Stephen. Second. Michael. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. The motion passes. All right, Jerry, you're up. The president, CEO report.
Just checking Penny's notes here. I have my list, and then she said, "Did you see my list?" So I'll start with. With some reminders, at the February 8th council meeting, that's an East Bank council meeting, but it'll be a JEDCO heavy council meeting. The council is doing a resolution recognizing JEDCO for their AEDO reaccreditation. So we will be recognized by the council. I'd like to invite the board to be there as well. That is also going to be the meeting at which we know we have four, potentially five board appointments coming before the council at that meeting. So feel free to attend the council meeting if you have nothing else to do on February 8th at the Yenny Building. The February 16th executive committee, Larry has agreed to cancel that meeting as February 23rd will be a full board meeting, and keeping with other years, we're going to treat that as our board retreat. So February 23rd, that meeting will be in the conference center, and that will be our board retreat as well. And I know we have Anthony DiGirolamo is not here today. Next meeting, we can invite him and recognize him for his service as he's rolling off of the board. The board terms that are ending or ended at last year, they continue to serve until a replacement is named, are Anthony, Barry Bro, Myra Pineda's term is ending, although the Hispanic Chamber is renominating her and as a officer, we're trying to hold on to that. And Leisha Freeland will, and Michael Kraft, those are the five terms that are ending. So those will all, their replacements will all be on that council agenda on February 8th as well. So I wanted to discuss a few items, bring you all up to speed on what we know pertaining to the Avondale or the potential purchase of the Avondale shipyard. There's lots of rumor out there. There are lots of articles that have been printed. There are lots of Facebook posts that are filled with blatant lies and false information. There's a lot of turf wars taking place as a result of this. Jedco had no advance knowledge of this potential acquisition or offer on the table. I literally found out, you know, I don't know, 8 or 12 hours before the news went public. So we had nothing to do with any of the negotiations, the purchase price, any of that. We have been on record as saying that we are supportive of any investment that's going to create jobs and investment in the parish, whether that's T. Parker Host, whether it's Port of South Louisiana, Port of New Orleans, whoever that party may be, we're supportive of those investments. We can debate all day long whether the purchase price is what it should be, or but we weren't party to that transaction. So that's part of the reason why the first item on today's agenda was deferred. There are actually a couple of reasons. One, Jeff Kiever had wanted to be here to answer any questions. He is already in D.C. For Washington Mardi Gras. But secondly, the state has asked some follow-up questions because we don't have any more details, really. We don't know any timeline of the purchase. We don't know if this has a better or less than 50% chance of getting through. There are just a lot of unknowns, including the fact that, and Lacey, correct me if I'm wrong, this capital outlay request requires Jedco have a servitude on the land. This land is not part of the potential acquisition. This is actually on Marrero Land's property, or no. That's incorrect.
Yeah, sorry. The excuse me, the gate complex capital outlay project, which is not on this agenda, that one is in full swing. The bid is out, is being advertised currently. And by mid-February, or at least the March meeting, we'll probably have a contract before you with a contractor to build that gate complex. That property is owned by Marrero Land and Improvement Association. But to meet the state's ownership requirement for Jedco utilizing the capital outlay funds, we don't necessarily have to own the land, but we had to have a servitude dedicated, a long-term servitude, basically for the length of the bonds, until the bonds are paid off, so 20, 25 years, which we got. Marrero Land dedicated that servitude in our favor to construct and operate and maintain that gate complex. This one is just the rail crossing that will be improved across LA 18, which is a state, you know, DOTD right-of-way and roadway. So then there is a caveat there in the ownership requirements, and which I'm kind of working with the state now to make sure I have the right understanding, is that if the land is owned already by a state, by the state, that ownership requirement, whether Jedco own it or gets a servitude, is doesn't matter. But we may have to, I'm not sure of how this is working, whether Jedco gets the servitude or it's a Union Pacific servitude, and they go on and build the, construct the rail crossing. Anyway, in that instance, for this case, there's no improvements going on privately owned property. But the state did reach out expressing some, I guess, concerns or hesitation, you know, and giving us our fair warning that if the ownership does change and at any point this project is not owned by a public entity or at least there's, you know, the servitude isn't in JEDCO's name, that if we drew down on funds, we'd have to pay those funds back. JEDCO would be on the hook for that. So they're helping me to try to figure this out. I'd rather not begin this process until we know, have a better understanding of how this is going to work with the acquisition and also in this case with the UP Railroad. So that's one reason why. Just the state, and they've even asked, like, what do you know about this negotiations? I could only tell them, you know, what we told you today. So they're kind of in the dark too.
So as you can see, that's just one of the reasons why we agreed to defer this item so we can get more answers as well. But taking it a step further, JEDCO has been thrust in the middle of this deal. It's through no action of ours, it has put us squarely between the Port of South Louisiana and the Port of New Orleans. The Port of New Orleans claims that they are not behind any of the negative press, but there is a whirlwind out there, and it is going to get worse, because I received word this morning that T. Parker Host has hired some lobbyists that have the ability to get the governor's ear and get this deal done. So it's going to get, I think, you know, more controversial than it is now. Again, we're steering clear of any, we're not party to the acquisition, we're not party to the purchase price or the negotiations of the purchase price. I have been in constant contact with commissioners of the Port of New Orleans, with the director of the Port of South Louisiana, with T. Parker Host. Again, I'll be with all of them this weekend. It should make for a very interesting Washington Mardi Gras.
Drinks.
You don't want to be seen with any party, in, you know, because the rumor mill is flying. But that's really as much as we know right now. That this offer was supposedly unsolicited. Nobody else knew that the property potentially was for sale. I'm told by T. Parker Host there were four appraisals done on the property, and this was the value of the lowest of the four. Just taking everyone at their word, you know, that's where we are. I'll take any questions, but I don't know that I know much more than
your opinion, Jerry. Had the governor been privy to this information, would we have the same problem?
So the I was informed by the Port of South Louisiana the morning before this was made public that the governor had been briefed, and
he was briefed that morning because he said he didn't know about it earlier.
Well, I was informed that the governor was briefed that day and provided support. The article tells a different story. I don't know. The governor didn't tell me firsthand that he provided his support, so I was trusting the word of someone that he offered his support. His response in the press has been that he doesn't have all the facts and is withholding judgment. I believe our former Senate president is now working for Host to lobby this deal. So it's whether or not the governor does get on board, I don't know. But I certainly, that's another reason why we were put in a very bad situation,
And I will say, you know, a little bit of our displeasure with the Port of South Louisiana is whether we were party to discussions or not is neither here nor there. The fact that we had no other warning that this was even going on put us in a situation of having a half-day notice and then expected to be advocates for the deal. It just put us in a...
Well, yeah, I was just looking at, we had a big celebration. Everybody was here, the governor was here, the senators, representatives were down. It was a big old deal. And then all of a sudden now, it's kind of like we didn't know anything. It makes us look suspect.
We've had multiple public records requests, questions about the pilot. I think there is probably at least one more article in the hopper from the advocate that I'm aware of, that will probably be negative in tone, and some of it. Look, the Port of New Orleans has multiple people from the port have come to me and said, well, y'all are at least getting something on the property through the pilot. If the Port of South Louisiana owns it, you're not going to get anything. And my response was, same as if the Port of New Orleans owned it, which they want to own it too. So that's not a valid argument for me. But the press has asked about the pilot payments. What are they getting now? What are they paying now? We've responded to all of those requests as well.
Do you hope, and I realize they don't have to negotiate with us or compensate us. I completely understand that. Do you hope to interject into the conversation that comment and say, this is what we are going to lose. We would like to be made whole or something.
I think the parish can, and that's part of the conversation with the Port of South Louisiana is if they want to provide some sort of compensation, but the parish can't ask for that. I mean, it's the Port of South Louisiana, the Port of New Orleans, they're a political subdivision of the state of Louisiana, just like us. And by virtue of their ownership, that's a non-taxable, that comes off the tax rolls.
So the Port District designations don't prevent or prohibit
the legislation sale? That's been provided to us allows a port district to acquire land in any, they can acquire land in any jurisdiction. They have to abide by the tariff. I don't know all the language, but they have to abide by the tariffs in that port's jurisdiction.
Okay.
But this is akin to the container terminal that the Port of New Orleans is now owning in the Port of St. Bernard jurisdiction.
Okay.
I believe.
I think that with regard to being for or against this deal, that it is the wisest thing to take a step back and understand that I don't think JEDCO really needs to take any position on this one way or the other. We weren't involved in the deal. It's two, for us, third parties in a transaction that as far as economic development is concerned, you could probably look at this as a win-win. There's a huge investment occurring right here in the parish. If this had happened first time around and we hadn't done a pilot to help facilitate that first deal, that would have happened without our involvement, and it would have been a good thing. It had been putting the property into commerce. So me personally, as a commissioner on the board here, I would advocate that we try to keep our hands as clean as possible, especially as political as this seems to be getting. We have always been, since I've been involved, as apolitical as possible, keeping our focus on economic development as our mission. So I don't see where we really have a dog in the hunt. I do think, and I told Jerry this when it first happened, that this is a good moment for us to look back at the pilot and see, you know, is this the course that, you know, just make sure we check all our boxes as we go forward. It's a good learning moment to analyze make sure we go, and I think we did. I think we did a really good job on this board of running the traps of first saying to ourselves, is this something that's good for economic development in the parish? Check. Will this deal happen, or do we have a role to play to help make it successful? And that's where the pilot came in. I think this board did an excellent job of analyzing that and doing what was reasonable and appropriate in the moment to help make that project successful. And, you know, how you measure success, you know, things going up in value is a good economic measure of success. And you could look at this situation that way. This has gone up. If that is the real value and it transacts between a willing buyer and a willing seller, that's, you can take all the appraisals you want and throw them out the window. If that's, if it transacts at that price, that's the value. Market determines the value. It, you know, going up in value this fast, that, I don't know how that's a bad thing. So,
Michael, do you have a question I've asked myself? We had never anticipated with this pilot that, or we, I should say we anticipated that we would earn all the fees that were put into it and that the parish would receive the taxes over the period, and it would go right up every year once it started going up. Do you, have you given any thought, and political consulting, it would be called a win bonus, but have you given any thought to, we put some safeguards if we do any future pilots where now that we know this might happen, maybe it's unlikely it'll happen, but we know it could happen again, that we guarantee these fees. If it was in the contract, it would have been taken into account.
Well,
it would have been taken into account during the negotiations.
So the way I see the fees is it's an offset already for the cost of JEDCO managing the program. I don't really see that as we did some work in order to earn money. But,
and property taxes too.
So that's on behalf of the, that's up, that's sort of the parishes. That's not really, I mean, we're in favor of economic development. And yes, it's going to end up, if the transaction goes through, sort of off the tax rolls basically permanently. But again, rewind the clock and say, okay, we didn't facilitate the transaction to begin with and the state bought it instead of T. Parker Host, it goes off the tax rolls anyway. So it's going to end up in the state hands one way or the other. I mean, that's not the way I do the calculus.
It's a rare situation that it's being purchased by a political subdivision, because right, the opposite, if it was purchased by the win bonus on the other side, is if it was a private company and we decided not to continue the pilot, then it goes on the tax rolls at the full amount. Then the parish
right
does benefit
yeah
much more significantly. But Michael's looking at this correctly in terms of the administrative rents that JEDCO is earning, it's offsetting the efforts of the staff of tracking and policing and
it's not a moneymaker for
that.
JEDCO. Yeah.
So that goes away, but there's also the work goes away. There's, we don't need to administer right that pilot for the parish on the tax piece.
There's no question.
The one thing at the beginning, and I actually, you know, made comments around it, wasn't really very forceful, but in pushing an agenda on it. But you know, when you have a private company and you're facilitating a pilot and it's being represented to us that it's needed in order to get the deal to go through, you know, at that moment, I think it's a good time to focus on the transparency of that. You know, let's give us the numbers of why this is needed. And so when the next pilot comes along, I would focus on that again. Say, okay, well, let's look at the P&Ls that you're talking about and your business plan. And, you know, at some point, they don't want to share everything, and we don't get P&Ls from T. Parker Host.
Right.
And that's, I wouldn't think that we would want to prevent this from happening. But we do want to conduct the job here in a way that prevents criticism from the public, that we gave away public money into the pockets of a billionaire.
Which enhanced the sale, which is... We enhance the purchase
well,
price. No,
that's
question
the potential
yeah
criticism. But
yeah,
I, again, go, knowing everything we knew at the time we were making these decisions, I think we did a phenomenal job of our due diligence.
And also, if this goes through, and correct me if anybody here disagrees, but I echo what Jerry said. I mean, this is long term. This is probably a win-win for the parish. It's going to
yeah
bring investment. It's going to shorten the time frame to develop the site. The only negative is...
Well, it'll be in the state's hands, and the state doesn't always manage things the best, but... But you know, you have a big value. You would think that they're not going to pay that kind of money for an asset and do nothing with it, but they certainly...
The best thing to do is sit on the sidelines, and that's what we're doing right now for at least 30 more days as this plays out.
Well, and to Michael's point, we have been asked to issue letters to the editor, opinion letters. We've been asked to do a number of things, and we have refrained from doing all of that at this point. And we're going to let it play out. Now, I am aware that at the next council meeting also, the council has invited the Port of South Louisiana to make a presentation, and I think it's their intent to issue a resolution, and the council is going on record issuing a resolution in support of the deal. So that allows us to stay back as well.
Is that on the 8th also?
I believe so.
We'll be at the house.
I believe so. So that's all. I mean, on Avondale, I just... a couple of other items I wanted to mention. I was approached by a couple of the insurers locally, insurance companies, and they were bemoaning the fact that they travel to Lloyd's and travel to these large underwriters. And they're trying to tell the story of some of the advancements that have taken place in our market to try and encourage some of these insurers to come back into the market and write. And the question was asked of me, what can we do? Do you have any thoughts? And it harkened back to post-Katrina environment when GEDCO took the lead on a number of quality of life issues and how we can attack those. And we developed these substantial reports around each of these quality of life issues, of which insurance was one of them. Brought that idea to the parish president. She loved the idea. We have since married up with the Home Builders Association, who are pushing fortified roofs and fortified building, fortified construction. So to make a long story short, I approached Greg Rigamer, who under the GCR banner had done all of those quality of life reports. He now has the capacity, and his non-compete with GCR is up, and he's trying to do this type of work again. And he has given me a preliminary figure of about $25,000 for them to do a whole new insurance report that not only the insurers, but the parish and everyone, the home builders, everyone involved will have third party validation on all of the improvements that have been made in Jefferson. These include probably more stringent building codes that now potentially requiring permits for roofs to ensure that these fortified roofs are done properly. So building code, the advancements in the pump stations and flood protection and all of that, trying to place those in this report. The thought is that we have the special session coming up on insurance specifically and the funding of this incentive program to encourage insurers to come back into the market. If an insurer takes advantage of that incentive program, they have to write 50% of their policies have to be in one of the parishes most affected by Ida, and 25% of their policies have to directly take a citizen, a policyholder that's currently with Citizens off of the Citizens rolls. Insurers have the ability to say, they can do it by zip code, they can do it like by parish and say, we'll write in this parish, we're not writing in this parish. So the whole strategy here is to get Jefferson ahead of the region and encourage those insurers that if they take advantage of this, whether it's the incentive program or in the long run, whenever they're ready to come back, Jefferson is positioned as the parish most likely to benefit. I think that $25,000 investment in this is totally nominal. I mentioned this, the price tag to the administration, and I got a look like they were out of money, which we know is not the fact. So one of my asks in D.C. will be to meet with some of the council members and just see if they're ready to run with this. I don't think that should be a JEDCO expense, but I also think it's important enough, so if we don't get traction from the parish, which I think is unlikely, I think we'll get there. This may be a reciprocal go back to JEDCO and the JBC and get everybody to put five into this, because I think it would be very worthwhile. And Greg Rigamer contacted Rafe Rabelais, who was the point person on all of our quality of life, and Rafe is going to freelance and work on this.
Can I make an alternative suggestion? That the insurance, the larger insurance companies will benefit directly by writing more business, and I think it's fair to ask them to.
Well, that's on my radar.
To put up some money, yeah.
All right, I'll try and be quick. We talked about, of course, Cynthia's retirement. We are moving into second interviews for our community and municipal affairs
relations
manager. This is the position that will largely manage our Kenner and Gretna cooperative endeavor agreements. So we have those second interviews scheduled now. I mentioned about the board appointments that'll come on February 8th. You have your financial disclosures in front of you. And the only other thing that I'll close with is just asking for patience in the next couple of months, because we're going to go through a pretty major transition here in the organization at the same time as we have Avondale and audit and everything going on at the same time. So if you don't hear from me proactively, feel free to call. It'll be an interesting couple of months here, not the least of which is also heading into an election year, which works out well because I try and stay in the office more during election year and stay out of the public. Any other questions for me, or anybody want to add anything?
Jerry, is there any update on the boat issue?
So I circulated their proposal, I believe, didn't I? Okay. So we really just need to schedule a follow-up call once the group has had a chance to review that. And for those of you that aren't aware, the Louisiane, which was a loan that we had on a riverboat, is there is an investment group considering the purchase of that once the release of liens and wants to make us an offer. So they provided a plan that some members of the finance committee are considering.
We'll have some input from our attorney before we talk with them again. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other updates or comments from any of the other commissioners?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, it's going to be strange without having Cynthia around here. Cynthia, you've left indelible footprints on this organization.
But I promise you, we are going to miss you a lot more than you're going to miss us. I promise you. So, congratulations. Okay. We'll call for motion to adjourn. Lloyd, second. Stephen, thank you guys. See you next month, February 8th. Penny, you going to say?
February 8th.